Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains, and today we're breaking down some retail earnings ahead of some big reports later this week, and this comes after Walmart's strong quarterly results last week. So today we're going to dive into Home Depot, Target, and Macy's. But before we do that, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And also make sure to check out our new zacks.com/promo page for a look into some of our services, portfolios, and more. So as I mentioned, we're going to start with a little bit of a broader overview quickly and then dive into a little bit of what Walmart did before we go ahead and take a look at Home Depot and Target and Macy's. So the Dow, S&P 500, and NASDAQ all sit right near brand new highs. This is Monday morning, after closing at record highs on Friday amid a strong November so far. And this strength comes amid better than feared earnings results, the Fed's third interest rate cut, some solid U.S. jobs data, and then some continuing U.S.-China trade war progress, even though we have seen some setbacks as of late. And then on top of that, the National Retail Federation projects to have solid holiday shopping season sales, up from last year's a little bit of a disappointment compared to what they were calling for. And this is all happening while U.S. unemployment rests near 50-year lows. On top of that, the Commerce Department said this past Friday that retail sales climbed slightly in October, and this is after slipping a little bit in September. And now at this point, we have Q3 results from more than 460 of the 500 S&P 500 members. So that's over 92% of the index's total membership. And of these 462 companies, to be exact, earnings are down about 1.4% on 4.4% higher revenue. And overall, for the third quarter, our Zacks estimates are expecting quarterly earnings results to be down about 1.8% on about 4.2% higher revenues. And this is coming against some harder to compare periods, especially on the earnings front against last year. And we do expect growth to return on the bottom line in 2020. So now that we have some of that larger economic overview done with, I want to take a quick look at what Walmart did last week before we jump into the three companies we're going to break down today. So Walmart touched new highs Thursday morning after it topped our quarterly earnings estimates and saw its U.S. comparable sales jump 3.2%. And meanwhile, Walmart Wall Street was looking closely at its e-commerce growth, which continues to impress investors. Those sales surged 41% as the world's largest retailer continues to expand its digital and delivery offerings. This includes the rollout of its new, what it's calling Delivery Unlimited, which is essentially a grocery delivery membership that's now available at over 1,400 U.S. stores. And on top of that, Walmart has officially launched its in-home delivery in three U.S. cities, which they say reach over 1 million customers. And this, for those of you who don't know, Walmart's been teasing plans for some time now that they're going to do some in-home delivery, which is something Amazon's also testing out, which is an interesting service, to say the least, where you give delivery drivers the ability to obtain entry to your house and drop off your various items inside your house. I don't know how popular that's going to be, but clearly these different companies, Amazon and Walmart, are both testing that out. And then on top of their Q3 strength, Wall Street was also excited that Walmart provided some positive guidance, and this comes amid U.S.-China trade war uncertainty. So the positive guidance certainly was a good sign, and this helped them see some longer-term earnings estimate revisions move up in a big way since they've reported. And overall, Walmart stock was up about 1% in morning trading Monday. The stock is now up 30% in 2019 in general, which crushes its industry's 16% average and the S&P 500's 23% climb. So to put things in perspective, Walmart stock, as we mentioned, is up 30%, and Home Depot stock, which can kind of be seen as a proxy for its industry in general, which is that home improvement space, which Lowe's lives in as well, is up 40%. So they're up 10% higher than Walmart so far, which is well below Target's whopping 71% growth in 2019. And this is then all looking much better than Macy's, which is down 44% in 2019. So those are the three companies we're going to touch on. Target's the standout there, up 70%. Home Depot's up 40%. And Macy's is down 44% so far in 2019. And quickly before we jump into Home Depot, we should note that along with Home Depot and Target and Macy's, we have Kohl's, Urban Outfitters, Lowe's, TJX, L Brands, and a bunch of other retailers all reporting their quarterly results this week. So it's going to be a very heavy retail earnings week on Wall Street. So now we're going to jump in to Home Depot, which reports its quarterly results before the opening bell Tuesday. So we're going to go in chronological order here. As some people might assume, with Home Depot stock up 40% so far this year, it rests right near its 52-week highs heading into its report, but its shares have cooled off slightly recently, which could be good news for the stock if the company is able to impress Wall Street tomorrow on Tuesday. So we're going to take a brief look just at Home Depot's basic pitch. They're a pretty well-known company. Most people get the gist of what they're doing. And it's certainly not a holiday shopping mecca, so it's not necessarily going to get that fourth quarter retail boost where most companies are doing their largest quarter of sales during this holiday shopping period, where unlike those traditional retailers, Home Depot's biggest quarter is often the second quarter. So this isn't going to be a blowout quarter in terms of overall revenue, but Home Depot appears to be in a strong position, as the average U.S. consumer seems to be in a solid position as well. So those kind of go hand in hand. And then we should also note that Home Depot is the world's largest home improvement retailer in general. They have over 2,300 stores, and mostly in the U.S. And the Atlanta-based company has been able to benefit essentially in this Amazon age, because unlike some other traditional retailers, it's a little more immune from Amazon's encroachment. It's kind of hard to order. You're not going to go on Amazon and order a bunch of planks of wood or anything like that and have it delivered to your house. So Home Depot is operating a business that's not as as easy to disrupt as Amazon's been able to do some other retailers. But with that in mind, Home Depot has, of course, rolled out its own bigger digital push in modern retail initiatives, which includes online ordering, in-store pickups. And they also do, for those that didn't know, Home Depot does offer free two-day delivery on what they say is thousands of eligible items. They also even have some same-day and express delivery. So Home Depot is giving people opportunity to have various offerings delivered directly to their house. Now we're going to move on to some other fundamentals before we take a look at what to expect. So overall, Home Depot sports a B grade for value and growth in our style scores system here at Zacks to give it an overall B VGM score. And we should note that Home Depot is part of our building and products retail industry, which currently rests in the top 13% of our more than 250 Zacks industries right now. So some solid numbers right there. On top of that, the company pays an annualized dividend of $5.44 per share for a yield of 2.4% right now, which is coming in easily above the 10-year U.S. Treasury's payout. And Home Depot's valuation picture remains largely in line with where it has been, because it's trading at a little bit stretch compared to where it has been, but it's trading at 21.6 times forward 12-month earnings estimates, which comes in below its own 3-year median there. So, or below its own 3-year high. and slightly above its three-year median. So nothing too stretched there. And now looking ahead, our estimates are calling for Home Depot's Q3 sales to jump over 4%. And this would easily top last quarter's sales, which climbed about 1.8%. So we're calling for 4.3% top line growth, which would beat last quarter's roughly 2% growth. And this would easily mark the continuation of really impressive growth, because in the year ago period, the company climbed 5.1% on the top line during that quarter. So some impressive continuation of sales growth for Home Depot is what we're calling for. And then overall for the bottom line, we're calling for Home Depot's adjusted quarterly earnings to climb just about 0.4%. So a slight uptick on the bottom line. But this, we should note, is coming against a really hard to compare third quarter of 2018 when Home Depot's earnings were up almost 40%. So calling for 4.3% growth on the top line, about 0.4% growth on the bottom line, which both are marking continuation of impressive runs for Home Depot. And with all this said, Home Depot stock could be in for a little bit of a pullback if it fails to provide solid guidance, just based on where it sits right now at the moment. But if they do give impressive guidance like Walmart did, with the fact that Home Depot stock has kind of moved sideways relatively recently, it could easily see a bit of a post-earnings pop. So definitely pay attention to Home Depot, which is set to report its Q3 results Tuesday morning. So now we're going to move on to one of Target's main rivals, or one of Walmart's main rivals, which is Target, that trades under the ticker TGT. So last week, Target stock got a little bit of a boost after Walmart's impressive quarter. So Target sits right near its own 52-week highs heading into its quarterly results. As we mentioned earlier, the stock is up 70% so far in 2019, and this includes a roughly 20% one-day jump, which came after it destroyed people's expectations in the second quarter. So Target has been on a really, really big run so far in 2019, especially since it reported its Q2 results earlier this year. And now, like we did with Home Depot, we're going to quickly just run down some of the basics of what Target's doing, even though in general, most people understand Target's business. It's a retail giant. So like everybody else in the industry, from Kroger to, say, even Chipotle, they've rolled out more of an e-commerce push and given curbside pickup options and more delivery options, which is just basically what every retailer is trying to do, no matter what they're selling, is just to give people more options for just any way they want to buy. You can buy it that way. You can come in stores, you can pick it up, or we'll deliver it to you as well. But on top of all their various delivery offerings, Target has continued to remain strong in that brick and mortar business. It's opened smaller locations in college towns and urban areas. They've also focused on redesigning and remodeling stores. And unlike some companies in the department store industry, one being Macy's, which we're going to talk about at the end, Target's been able to keep and attract more younger customers. Their customer base skews a little more highly educated. This is based on their own findings as they continue to roll out what I would say, and what retail industry analysts would say, are trendier offerings that are a little bit more high-end than things they offer at, say, Walmart, but it's still affordable, and this is in that furniture and home decor and fashion and even food, as we're going to touch on a little bit. They also have done a lot of different, we mentioned that the private label brands they have, they've rolled out over 20 in the last several years alone. And they also do limited release partnerships with bigger, higher end brands that such as Hunter Boots or things like that, where people will wait outside in the morning to go inside Target to buy these higher end things that are on a kind of a promotion thing that'll be there for maybe just the weekend with Target. And then we should note that before or right after their second quarter results, they announced that they were going to roll out their new brand, which is Good and Gathered. It's going to be their, what they call their flagship brand in their food business. So this is going to slowly get rid of some of their existing businesses in that space, such as Archer Farms. So Good and Gathered is going to be the big target brand for all of those food offerings. And then we should also note that in September, its board authorized a new $5 billion share repurchase program, which will begin after the completion of its current $5 billion share repurchase program. So the company's board is deciding that they see an opportunity here. They're going to continue to buy back shares, return some value to investors, and they see their shares clearly as somehow still value there as well. And then on top of that, we should note that the company boasts what it calls industry-leading pay and benefits combined with enhanced training and career opportunities, which is worth noting here because the labor market remains pretty tight. So this helps target attract and maintain a strong workforce, which is always very valuable. And on top of that, obviously they're paying people back through those big repurchase programs. They also have a dividend, which is paying an impressive yield of about 2.4% at the moment, which comes in above the 10-year U.S. Treasury. It comes in above Walmart. It comes in well above Costco. So Target is paying a really impressive dividend yield at the moment, especially for its stock price being on such a big run so far. And on top of that, Target rests in our retail/discount stores industry, which is in the top 13% of our more than 250 industries right now. And Target is also currently a number 2 Saks rank buy based on some solid bottom line estimate revisions, and it holds A grades for value and growth at the moment. So looking ahead, Target is expected to see its Q3 revenues climb about 3.6% from the year ago period. This would match last quarter's growth. So nothing out of line there. Some impressive growth. And it would also come on top of really solid growth in Q3 of 2018. So like Home Depot and Walmart, it seems to be that it's just continuing to grow its top line. And then on the bottom line, Target's adjusted Q3 earnings are expected to climb about 8.3%. And we should note that their full year 2019 estimates or earnings estimates or earnings are expected to be 15% higher. So some solid bottom line growth as well there. And as we mentioned, Target is set to report after Home Depot, obviously, since we're going chronologically. So Target is going to report on Wednesday, November 20th, before the opening bell as well. And with Target up so big, you could clearly see some room for a little bit of a pullback as investors take some of their winnings home with them. But if, like Walmart, they provide some solid guidance for the holiday quarter amid still uncertainty on that U.S.-Chinese trade war front, you could easily see TGT stock climbing after they report as well. But you never know how Wall Street's going to react to that, so make sure you pay close attention to any guidance in e-commerce updates on that earnings call on Wednesday. And now we're going to end with Macy's, which, as we mentioned at the top, their shares are heading in the complete opposite direction of all the companies we've already mentioned. So Macy's has kind of been the test case for what people really sparked these broader fears that traditional brick and mortar retail's days were numbered in the Amazon era. Macy's and other department stores have clearly not been able to inspire much confidence on Wall Street over the last several years as their growth kind of seems to be disappearing as more and more people find new outlets to shop at instead of these once really mighty brick and mortar department stores. So in general, the basic question is, what's wrong with Macy's? It's nothing crazy. It's that they've tried to adapt in this e-commerce focused retail age through their omni-channel offering, which basically integrates their brick and mortar infrastructure with their digital business. The company also, for those of you who don't know, they own Bloomingdale's as well, and they also own Blue Mercury, which is a smaller part of their business. They've spent money on various initiatives with varying success, but they've really just found it hard to attract more users, or not users, more consumers in a retail age where brands can really just pop up seemingly overnight and find success reaching especially younger consumers on platforms across the internet. And this even includes the all too popular at this point Instagram. So Macy's struggles are really amplified in this kind of environment where there's more small retailers, especially online, grabbing more market share than ever. And we should also note that overall Macy's full year revenues fell 3 years in a row before it posted a marginal climb last year after it obviously had fallen 3 years in a row already. And the American malls continue to fade further and further. And then as we've kind of alluded to with smaller brands popping up, there's also bigger companies that more than ever are focusing on their own direct-to-consumer businesses. This includes companies such as Nike. I mean, Lululemon has rose to prominence on Wall Street and in the retail age through largely their completely direct-to-consumer business. So this is another big reason why Macy's might continue to struggle going forward. In We should note that, Macy's stock is down 72% in the last 5 years, and this compares against the broader retail industry's 80% climb. So they're down over 70% in the last 5 years, and the retail industry in general is up 80% during that time. So a big divergence in the last 5 years for Macy's stock there. So looking ahead, our estimates are calling for its Q3 revenues to fall about 1.7% from the year ago period, which would come in worse than the second quarter's decline. And we should also note that their comparable store sales are projected to fall about 1.2%. And this is after they climbed slightly last quarter. And then on the bottom end of the income statement, Macy's adjusted quarterly earnings are projected to take a big, big tumble. They're expected to fall 96% from 27 cents per share in the year ago quarter to just 1 cent per share this quarter. So a big bottom line decline is expected, and then a roughly 2% decline on the top line is what we're calling for Macy's. And as we noted, their stock is down big. Macy's stock is down 50% over the last 12 months. 43% in 2019. Macy's is currently number four sell in our Zacks rank, and this is based on its recent trend of negative earnings revisions. And obviously, the company still does pay a dividend, but its yield is pretty artificially inflated based on its downturn. But with that said, Macy's is on such a big, big decline that you could see a post-earnings pop if it provides some signs of hope for the holiday quarter or next year, if they provide basically anything to get from the least bit excited about. You could see the stock climbing a little bit after it reports its results on Thursday, November 21st. And there is some precedent of this brief post-earnings pop for a company that had been heading in the wrong direction, because we saw JCPenney stock climb about 10% this past Friday after it provided some better than expected guidance. But we should note that JCPenney stock is trading at around $1 per share. So that's nothing to get too excited about. And JCPenney is another cautionary tale in this larger story of department stores on the big decline, because its shares are down 90% in the past 3 years alone. So as I said, at this point, it seems like Macy's stock should be more of a trader's stock at this point. It doesn't seem like it's the best solid longer term investment at the moment, unless they're able to really change the business model maybe going forward, or provide some signs of a return to growth going forward. So In conclusion, we've talked about Home Depot and Target and Macy's after previewing Walmart. So those, all three of these companies operate very, very different businesses. Two of them seem to be headed in the right direction, where Macy's is that outlier in the retail industry at the moment, as these department stores really struggle to figure out what direction to turn in next. And then I want to end with just a brief look at the last 2 years to give people a sense of how all four of these companies we've mentioned today are doing compared to each other and the overall S&P 500 as we close out today. So overall, as one might expect with Target up so big in the last year, that Target stock has been the outlier of these four companies so far over the last 2 years. So Target stock is up 94% since November 20th of 2017, where Home Depot stock is in second place at the moment over this two-year stretch. It's up about 40% over 2 years, and Walmart stock is up about 24% over that stretch, which comes in just a little bit above the S&P 500. And then Macy's is kind of that outlier. It's down about 20% over this two-year stretch. And this includes a little bit of a bounce back from what at the time were some big lows. So Macy's went on a little bit of a run in late 2017 and early 2018, and it has pretty much fallen off the map since then. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Rains. And remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.